Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to reflect a little bit on the prophetic realities of what we're experiencing today. The church always lives in, and every human being is engaged in, at some level, a spiritual conflict. There's a spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. It goes on throughout human history. It'll go on until the Lord Jesus comes again. Now, the church is the Lord's living body, the living organism, the place where human beings come to move from darkness to light and to come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, to come to a place where our lives literally get united to the life of Jesus. In baptism, we die with Christ and we rise with Christ in baptism. The cross of Jesus that saves us and has brought down the kingdom of darkness is applied to our lives. And that cross and the blood that he shed purifies and cleanses us from the stain of original sin and washes us clean and makes it possible for us to become temples of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the most significant thing that can happen to anybody on the planet. It really, truly is. We become born again. We become partakers. We begin that journey to become partakers of the divine nature. We share in the new creation whose fountainhead is Christ himself. It flows from him. He's the one who raised up human flesh and brought it into the presence of the Holy of Holies in heaven and made it possible for human flesh to touch the holy flame of God's consuming love. Jesus is the beginning of the new creation. This season of Lent is a time in which we look at our lives in light of God's love, in the light of the amazing act of mercy that he has in the heart that he has toward each and every one of us. He loves us so profoundly and so deeply. And he wants to bring us into true love and true life. Jesus doesn't compromise on any of that. He revealed to us definitively what is true about God, man, and our destiny, the human race. He revealed to us what is true about sin and virtue. He revealed to us what is true about God the Father and his heart toward us. Jesus manifested it all. He brought it all to light. He unveiled it for us so we could see who we are and where we're going. He revealed the Father's commandments and his plans and nothing. Jesus showed us how for a human being, nothing can take precedence over it. He showed us that God is our maker and he's the one who gives us an identity. We don't shape our own identity. He gives us an identity. It's a gift. We're his children. We're called into relationship with him. That's the fundamental point of everything. But that's why, friends, in a world like the one we're living in now, that's running away from God, that's pushing God from the human horizon, this is why everybody is obsessed with identity. Because if God doesn't exist, the giver of meaning, of design, of purpose, of truth, of identity, if he doesn't exist, because in this case, people don't want him to exist, then we're left to our own devices and we have to make up our identity. And then we have to try to figure it out. And then we figure it out by maybe the television has the answer. Maybe social media has the answer. Maybe contemporary music has the answer. Maybe the art culture has the answer. Maybe Wall Street and Madison Avenue has the answer. Who's got the answer? Who can answer this question? Maybe my feelings define it. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something in me that totally defines it. And so this search, this unending search that's leading to what people call freedom, but it's actually, friends, madness. And guess what? It's judgment. There was first 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 identities and genders and the rest. Now how many are there? There's like hundreds. It's total confusion. And the world, as I said earlier in the week, going back to Monday, Psalm 2, the kings of the earth are setting themselves against the Lord and his anointed. They said, let's throw off his bonds. His bonds are bondage to us. They enslave us. God's design, his commandments, his natural law, it's a burden. It's enslaving. We don't want it. We will be our own masters, period. And that's what's emerged in our culture. And that's what's coming now. It's the new story. It's the new self-worship at the center of the culture that's forming now the way of life of a people we talked about on Monday. Excuse me, Psalm 2 was on Tuesday. Monday was Eucharist. Where do we start? We start with the Eucharist. This is the place where Jesus reveals to us most intimately who he is. He teaches us. He shows us the way. He forms us. He feeds us. He gives us a glimpse and a touch into the heavenly banquet, the heavenly celebration of his absolute victory. And we taste and see by his grace our destiny. There we find out what's the truth about who we are, what life is, and it's what we worship. We worship the king, and what we worship is what we become. It's a cult in the sense of the meaning, the full meaning of that term. It's just the place we celebrate and worship. And that worship is the center of our life because it defines, it expresses our gratitude as we celebrate reality and God's order and creation. And then out of that affirmation, which is what Thanksgiving is, the affirmation and gratitude about God's design and purpose that we celebrate, comes a way of life, beginning with, as he teaches us through his commandments, and we become a culture. A culture is the way of life of a people, and that defines us. And then guess what? Where do our politics come from? It comes from our culture. Politics is downstream from culture. Culture is downstream from God, from revelation, from meaning, from truth, from our worship, what we worship. What we worship will ultimately form us. Today, what's happening is the political culture is rising beyond its appropriate boundaries. It's becoming the center of everything. Without seeing, it's like its own church. There's ideology present that's being exalted, and now it's being imposed on people and on the people of God and on the culture. And they're saying, we insist that this become our way of life. We insist that this become our culture now. Yes, it's a break from the culture of the past, but we don't care. We're smarter now. We're more enlightened now. We're more progressive now. And we demand that this be the case. We demand that everybody celebrate it and everybody live it and accept it. And anybody who doesn't will be canceled, will be punished in some way, will be marginalized. It's a new religion. It's got its own values. It's got its own commandments. It's got its own meta worldview, its grand vision of reality. And it all begins in the corrupted heart of the individual, a false definition of freedom. It denies reality as it's given and God's authority, and it's totally dependent upon the assertion of my own will, which is often rooted in my own feelings, and feelings become the dominant source of everything. And so, you know, one of the things I touched on yesterday and was thankful for was the documents that various dioceses are putting out, kind of facing this challenge of gender dysphoria and the gender ideology that's emerging. And one of them is St. Louis. And I just want to read a couple of things from theirs to kind of see the nature of the battle. Because we're talking this week about the prophetic understanding of what is going on. Why the radical change? Why the radical shift? Why so much division? Why so much disruption? Because there's two different worldviews in play, radically different worldviews. And here it talks about, first of all, they begin by echoing Pope Francis. He's talking about the challenges of our time. He said, yet another challenge is posed by the various forms of an ideology of gender that denies the difference in reciprocity in nature of man and woman and envisages a society without sexual differences, thereby eliminating the anthropological basis of the family. This ideology leads to educational programs and legislative enactments, which is going on aggressively right now in the country, that promote a personal identity, emotional intimacy radically separated from the biological difference between male and female. Consequently, human identity becomes the choice of the individual, one which can also change over time. It needs to be emphasized that biological sex and sociocultural role of sex, which is gender, can be distinguished but not separated from one another. And they go into this document's called Compassion and Challenge. And the essence of the document is to say, look, we know that battling with identity and sexual identity is a challenge. It's one of the many challenges human beings have to face, and it's real. And for some people, it's very painful. It's a difficult process. So it demands real compassion. So rejecting it or overly celebrating it are the two poles often that the world takes and even voices in the church want to take. That's not the way forward. The temptation is to miss what emerges is a false definition of love, a false definition of compassion, and it's based on a different philosophy of life. That's where it comes from. And they give some indicators here in the document. For example, they say the philosophy seems to be following at least these three things. First, number one, feelings define our identity. How you feel is who you are. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. A good friend of mine at one point said, you know, I am my feelings. That's my reality. Number two, human integrity means acting on our persistent desires. I have to be true to myself. This is a persistent desire. I have to follow and listen to my desires and my feelings because they define me. This is myself. This is who I am. Anyone who doesn't affirm our feelings and actions hates us, which is a lie. So the document goes on to say some, I think, really impressive things and provide some understanding. He said, number one, part one, feelings are part of us, but they don't have to define us. Feelings are shifting sand for all of us. If we let our feelings define us, we wouldn't have a stable identity at all because feelings change all the time. That's why people are saying, well, you know what? My identity can change many, many times in my life. My gender can change many times in my life. Because of this very reality, they're affirming, they know that this change happens so much. They say, well, I have to obey my feelings because my feelings are my reality. Number two, the bishop says, second, human integrity requires us to sift our desires, not simply to follow our desires. The reason for this is simple. Our desires have many sources. Some of them are rooted in our identity as God's sons and daughters. Some are the result of original sin, our inherited fallen condition. Some come from our personal history and sin. Human experience tells us that following our desires sometimes helps us live well and sometimes leads us to trouble. Catholic theology simply places the experience against an eternal horizon. Acting on our desires sometimes keeps us moving toward heaven and sometimes does not. Desires are not self-authenticating. Whether or not they move us toward heaven is the criteria for making that decision. There's just tremendous insight, friends, and I'd encourage you to take up these documents because you need to be equipped very, very clearly. And he reminds us at the end to say there's two parts to this. There's compassion that Jesus shows us, and then there's the radical truth of God's plan that Jesus shows us, and Jesus is unbending on both of them. That's what it means to love, and that's what it means to walk in the truth, and that's what we need to be equipped to do in this season of Lent by God's grace and His purification. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.